Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Westendorf, and welcome to this week's podcast of Great Questions, Great Conversations. We're excited to be able to do this again, and there's some fun backstory. Pastor Pete Panitsky is going to be joining me again today. Good morning, Pastor Pete.
Good morning, Mike.
We are going to start with $80. And for those of you who are listening, this reference, we're going to actually talk about it here in just a second, but for as you're kind of getting caught up, this is where it actually began, was an illustration that Pastor Pete used on Sunday regarding our sermon message, which was Try Harder, and $80 came into the picture on this one. And it captured me. It made the point that needed to be made, but then it just kept going, and my brain wouldn't shut off about it. So as we were talking off air, I thought, boy, this might be, I think other people are going to have some of the questions that we might have, and we're going to talk about today. But specifically, the idea of $80 and try harder, where did that come from? But then if God is invested in me, when did I become aware that I had $80? And how am I supposed to invest in that? What am I supposed to do with that? So those are going to be some of the questions. If you've ever wondered about where did faith come from, what am I supposed to do with faith, and then how am I to give God back my life? If you've ever wondered about some of these are some of the big questions that we're going to talk about today. So good morning again, Pastor Pete. How are you doing?
I am doing well.
How is the time change treating you?
It is not treating me well, but I'm putting on my game face, had enough coffee. I'm ready.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know about the rest of you who are listening or watching right now, but, I don't know. I just thought that the time change was going to be easier than this. I remember being a kid and it's like, ooh, it's going to be light out later in the day. And I'm 4 days into this going, I can't sleep. When can I sleep? Anyway, Pastor Pete, this past Sunday, we were talking about rethinking religion, and one of the religion things is that we have to try harder. Every other religion outside of Christianity, even if you say you're not religious, it's still about if you want a better life, you have to try harder. And you were helping us understand the piece of this that we have in Christ, that it's not about try harder. And as part of this, you brought up an illustration, a young kid from the congregation, and you asked him for $80, of which he didn't have. And so would you mind setting us up and releasing us into that point?
So I will, kind of finish off Mike's story, and then I'll give the backstory.
Please.
I asked a young person in the congregation, could you give me $80? He said, I don't have $80. And then I gave him $80. And then I asked him again, could you give me $80? And he said, sure. And my point was, as we think about our Christian life, I was illustrating something that St. Augustine wrote, 1,600 right. years ago.
Right, do the math.
Yeah, give what you command and then command what you will. So, Lord,
that's right.
Give me what you tell me to do, and then give me the strength to do what you tell me to do, and then I'll, and then command me whatever you want me to do. And this was the fourth quadrant. So I talked about the quadrants, which I think are very helpful to think about. In Lutheran theology, we talk about the law as a mirror, and that would be justification law, that it shows me my sin. Mm-hmm. And we talk about justification gospel. You are forgiven, right? For Jesus' sake, God considers you a saint. Justification, how am I right with God? And then the third quadrant would be sanctification law, that as a believer, now I can look at the law as a guide. It's like the instruction book. How will my life work the best? Oh, here's God's law that's given me by my gracious, forgiving God, and I want to obey this law because this is a good guide. But then the fourth quadrant is the one that I think we very often neglect, and that is sanctification gospel. In other words, not only does God say, here's what you should do, to make life work better, my law is a guide for you. Honor your father and mother. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Love one another. All of those things are guides for us as believers. I'm a forgiven child of God. This is how my life will work better.
Right.
And he also promises, I will give you the strength to do that. And the passage from Ephesians, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In other words, God has created something in us that not only has the desire, but the ability to obey God. And obviously not perfectly, because we still have a sinful nature, so that you have this battle going on within us. The sinful nature is always still there. But God's created this powerful new self within us. And I tried to get away from this idea of try harder, because to me, try harder is, I'm failing. The harder I try, the more I fail. But rather, instead, God is inviting me, here is the best way to make life work. And as a forgiven child of God, that's what I want to do. And he says, I will give you the strength day by day to do that.
Yeah.
So I give you the $80, and then I say, give me $80. And I go, oh, I can't. But God says, oh, here's $80. I give you what you need. I'll give you what you need. Trust me. And then you can give it back to me in service.
Yeah. And by the way, you've seen pictures. I'll be putting up the pictures too, that people can kind of see those quadrants that you have. That I think that it was maybe about a year ago that it was the first time I saw you bring this out, this picture of justification, law, justification, gospel, sanctification, law, sanctification, gospel, which was really helpful. It's for those of you who are listening, some of you are going like, my head is spinning.
Right.
But I think that $80, that $80, so if you could, with the illustration of the kid, or maybe make a story of justification, law,
Yeah.
justification, gospel, sanctification, with the kid in mind, can you kind of help us visualize those four quadrants through that?
Well, I guess I would rather not use a young
Okay.
child,
Sure.
because the illustration that comes to my mind is a parent.
Okay, let's go there.
That a parent is always trying harder to
Yeah.
be a better parent. A parent who loves their child, just
Right.
in a normal situation, you're
Right.
always trying harder to be a better parent. And the harder you try, the more you're going to fail. Justification law. I'm guilty. This dear parent needs to hear, you are a forgiven child of God, a forgiven son, a forgiven daughter, perfectly forgiven by the blood of Christ. You are a saint, as far as you're the perfect mom and perfect dad in God's sight, because your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
It is from that place of certainty of justification gospel that then, oh, how do I love my child when my child is not doing the things that my child should do? It's very easy to feel like a failure as a parent because, kids do dumb things. We did dumb things when we were kids, and our kids will do dumb things, and our grandkids will do dumb things. That's just part of growing up. We learn from experience.
Right.
And you can feel like a failure and go, no. God is calling you to be the best pastor of your family church as you can be, to help lead your child to Jesus. And you say, I just can't. You're right. But God is working in you. and will give you the words to speak, the heart of compassion that you need at the right time. You know, he is working in you, and he will give you what you need to be the parent that your child needs.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give you the $80.
Right? You know, as you're talking, one tension that arises in my mind and my heart a little bit is how quickly I will then go to say, well, I don't feel like I have it. You know, I don't have it in me to be better at. And of course, when I start feeling that way, I'm old enough now to realize that more times than not, it's because I misspent the $80, you know, or I'm holding back that $80 so that I can do something with it that I want to do.
Or you just don't see that you have it.
Yeah.
See, you're a baptized child of God. What does it mean that you're baptized? Oh, I'm forgiven, right? In Acts chapter 2, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Peter told the Pentecost crowd, they crucified Jesus. I mean, you can't get a worse sin than that.
Right.
Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Your sins are forgiven. But then he also said, and you will receive the promised Holy Spirit. What Holy Spirit? Oh, the one that's active in Peter and the apostles right now, giving them the ability to speak in languages they never learned before.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to go back to God's bank and claim the deposit that God has already put there. You know, the Spirit is working in me. And honestly, sometimes this is a harder part of the promise of baptism to believe, or gospel in general. I mean, it's not just in baptism.
Right.
It's harder to believe sometimes than forgiveness. That the Holy Spirit is working in me. I've got the power of the God who raised the dead working in me.
Yeah.
Things are not beyond my ability to change. And again, not perfectly, because we have this battle going on within us. The good that I want to do, I do not. And the evil that I do not want to do, that I do. Paul talks about in Romans 7. But the Holy Spirit is working in you. And let us go back to God's blank bank and claim that it's not hopeless. I can be a better parent. I can be a better pastor. I can be a better husband because the Holy Spirit's working in me. It's not me trying harder. It's I need to go back to the bank and claim what God has already put in me.
I need to claim what I already have.
Yes.
You know, as you're talking about it, and again, if you're newer to Christianity, you're listening into this, and then again, I hope that this is good, and it begs you to ask more questions. But a lot of times when I think about the gospel, for a long time, I grew up thinking, all right, this has the power to get me out of hell and into heaven. And so I remember being young, my impression of the church and of Christianity was all about not going to hell. And so I didn't ever feel like, all right, if I'm battling a temptation that's an always temptation, like all of us have that thing, that thorn in our flesh, that thing that we're always tempted with. We all struggle with petty addictions and things of that nature. And I never felt like there was any real power for me to say no to that. Or I would start thinking about like, all right, well, I survived today, but I'm probably not going to survive tomorrow. So I'd always be thinking about my future failure. Not for completely forgetting that I can only live in the moment. And in the moment, God is, I have the whole bank account, but in the future, yeah, I don't think I do.
It was this day, our daily bread, right?
Right.
Man, Jesus was so smart. Right. Yeah.
So that, you know, when it's, you're talking about justification, sanctification, one of the thoughts that it, you know, I wonder, is it helpful for some of the people who are listening and maybe wrestling with some of this too, that justification, that idea that I'm forgiven. That's the heaven piece of it. Like I'm a child of God. It has changed and shaped my eternal destiny. And because it's changed and shaped my eternal destiny and identity, I then have this sanctification law and gospel, which are powerful. The law is a guide what a beautiful thing. Like, how do I do this thing right? And yet the sanctification gospel, I have this, that this is like the Bible speaks so much more than just here's how we got you out of hell, but this is what eternal life looks like. And now start walking in it today. And I'm giving you everything that you need. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah. The devil wants us to despair in two ways. One, he wants us to despair because I am so guilty, God can't possibly forgive me.
Yeah, right.
Or he wants me to despair, I am so weak that I can't possibly be better. I can't possibly change.
Yeah.
And it's true that I can't, you know. I think of the AA 12 steps a lot. You know, that they were obviously written by two Christian men who came up with the 12 steps, which are basically just applying, you know, the Bible to one specific issue of alcoholism.
Right.
And just trying not to scare people away by saying, you know, I'm going to tell you who God is. I'm going to let you figure that out.
Kind of mm-hmm. Thing. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the first steps is recognizing I don't have the power to do it.
Yeah.
If I try harder, all that means is I will fail again.
Yeah.
So you submit that I don't have the strength. And then you recognize that there is somebody who can give me the strength day by day,
right,
hour by hour, or as a dear sister in Christ this morning said, minute by minute.
Yeah.
That Lord, give me the strength today to be the godly man, the godly woman that you want me to be.
Yeah. You know, as you were making a bit of a pivot, you know, as you were talking about the illustration, I woke up a couple days later, again, in this, you know, time change stupor of I can't really sleep, so my mind won't shut up. And one of the thoughts that hit me was just, you know, how faith comes about. And your analogy of the $80 was really an interesting one to me. The question that popped into my mind is, when do people become aware that they have the $80? How does that work? You know, in church world, you know, we talk about means of grace. So God is, he works faith in the hearts of people through baptism and through the word, the preached word, and through communion. He strengthens faith. And that those are the only means that he uses to work faith. And so it just kind of got me thinking about how did the $80 get there? Was the picture that came to mind? You know, because in some places in Christianity, you know, it would seem as though the story that they would tell, decision theology, would say, well, God has done his part. God has the $80. Now he's approaching you and he's saying, here, you've got to do your part. You've got to take it. There's some perspective that you could see, like, not for the justification piece of things. Like, we would say that doesn't work, but for sanctification, we would say, yeah, every day that's the bank, you know? So the challenge that I had was when do we become aware that we have the $80? And those were the two thoughts, the two places where my brain went. And I don't know if anybody else went there, but I just thought it'd be an interesting question to pose to you.
So my answer is I don't care. I just broke my chair.
Nice.
Whoa.
So yeah. What's God saying here, Pete?
Whoa. But when you start to figure out your, you know, when do I believe and how do I believe, honestly, you're going down a rabbit hole that I don't think has a good solution. You know, there's no good end to it. Because faith is so hard to figure out. God doesn't ask me to believe that I believe.
Could you say
Honestly,
that again?
God doesn't ask me to believe that I believe, right? But I don't have to believe that I believe. I just need to know Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm part of the world. I don't feel forgiven. I don't feel loved by God. So I don't feel like I believe, and yet this is true. Jesus died on the cross for me. He rose from the dead. Whether I feel it or not, it's mine. And whether I feel like I've got the Holy Spirit working powerfully in me to change me, doesn't make any difference. I don't have to believe that I believe. All I need to do is keep focusing on that promise. It is through, sometimes we are self-aware of, wow, I can see the God working in me. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times as you get older, you go, wow, I can see that the Holy Spirit has changed me over the years. And everybody who loves you and is close to you says, and brother, you've got so much farther to go. Looking back, sometimes you can see, in high school, the language that I used in high school was not the language that I used in front of my mother.
Right.
I don't want to use that. That stuff doesn't come out of my mouth anymore.
Right.
But it was just automatic in high school.
Right.
God has changed me. I can look back and see the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. But what about the challenge that I'm facing today? Oh, it's really hard to see it. I only know it because God's made that promise, not because I feel it. So that's what I mean. So I don't know, do I believe? I don't know. All I know is I can't do it on my own. And there's this marvelous promise. I just need to keep focused on the promise.
Yeah. That's good. It's interesting that there's a part of Christianity that is really focused on this piece of things and makes it such a pressure do you believe? I remember somebody asking me, you've been baptized. Yes, but have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are inside of us that would make you say, do I believe this? In the moments of weakness, where we're just, quite frankly, we're angry at God, or we're frustrated with the way that my life has turned out, or what's happening to my loved ones. It's like, where is a God? I love the prayer of the man, Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome
my unbelief, right?
Yeah, right. And so that idea of, when did the $80 get to me? I guess that there has been times in my life where I, like, God is literally, I think most of us have had that moment where all of a sudden an envelope arrived at a time when we desperately needed it. And we're like, oh my goodness, I can pay my mortgage because some gift came randomly from someplace. Okay. God's like, here you go. But other times it's just the realization that I've had this all along, that I already have this. It's just amazing how slowly sometimes it dawns on me, the remembrance that I have that. The other question that I had was kind of related to stewarding the gift. We're constantly in a fight with ourselves to try harder, to fall back into, I need to do more. I need to do this. And the thought hit me when you had asked the kid for the $80 back, whether it's the parable of the talents, but just maybe help us understand, like, as a Christian, okay, if I have all of this, and yet is God asking me to give that back to him? It was striking to me when you asked a kid. It was just so funny. You had the $80. He did not have it. You took it out of your wallet, which, again, the fact that it was $80 just is memorable. Like, I don't even think I would have remembered it if you said $100. But I love I love that it was $80.
All I had.
And it worked out so well. But to see you visually give the kid the $80 and then ask for it back, like all of these different thoughts, whether they're maybe Christian bumper stickers that aren't quite true, or you know, maybe it's the Bible stories that come up. What does it look like to give God back what he's already given me? Is that what he's asking us to do? And if you'd like to speak into that.
100%. What does God want us to give back to him? 100%. Now that doesn't mean that our offerings will be 100% of the income that God has graciously given us.
Right.
But there's none of that income using finances. There's none of that income or the talents that we receive, the abilities that we receive. None of that is, oh, this is mine. I can use this part the way I want.
Yeah.
And I will give 10% or 20% or whatever to the Lord.
Yeah.
It all belongs to the Lord. I'm just a manager, and I need to use, I want to use, because the Holy Spirit has worked in this in my heart. I want to use all of it to God's glory. And so, yep, he's given me $80, and I want to give $80 back to him. Now, how does that work? You know, in the Ron Roth, I love to, he used this verse all the time. It's use worldly wealth to make friends for yourself so that when it's gone, you know, they'll welcome you into heavenly dwellings. Luke 16, verse 9.
Hmm.
And that idea that, like, what do you need? How do I use what you've given me to bless others, to be the best person that I can be? So in my own budget life, you know, Joni and I bought a house a number of years ago. Is that selfish? Well, we're sinful human beings, but it's also, this has been a really good thing for us to allow us to have a separation and allow us to enjoy our lives together as husband and wife and have the kids over. One of our friends, mutual friend, talks about how, you know, their boat is an investment in their family because we love to have family together. That's part of giving 100% back to the Lord. It's not, oh, I'm giving every dollar in offerings.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, you know, but it could be, I'm doing this because this is how I show love to the people that I love.
Yeah.
This is how I care. And some of it is caring for myself. You know, behind me is books.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a book person. Don't buy me flowers.
Yeah.
Buy me a book, right?
Right. Right.
But there are many of my brothers and sisters in Christ who would go, flowers are a really nice thing to receive.
Mm-hmm.
You'd waste it on me, but it's a gift that says, I love you and I care about you.
Right.
Oh, that's part of my offering back to the Lord, because I am called upon to love others.
Right.
So what, you know, sometimes you're going to spend money on yourself, buying some books just because that helps me be the best person that I can be.
Right.
Or if you like to travel, you know, we're traveling and spending money that we wouldn't have to spend, but this is a place and how I get refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of you, Mike, as you know, the incredible musician that you are. You know, you spend money on, you know, instruments and the opportunity to go and perform places that, you know, my guess is there are lots of times you go perform and it's actually ultimately money coming out of your pocket because, yep, you know, God's people just it's not a big enough crowd to cover your costs.
Sometimes,
you
yep.
Love Jesus. You love, yep, Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is part of my giving back to them, but also this is part of what makes you who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is part of giving. God gave me $80 and I'm going to give all $80 back to him.
Yeah. I appreciate you going there and helping our people see that. You know, if you're listening in, I hope that that gives you some sense of freedom, that it doesn't always have to be, you know, like a monetary thing, or like, oh, he's expecting all of it. Now all of a sudden we put ourselves back into try harder, you know, just like that. You know, I was thinking of the golf course. You know, there's a lot of people who love golf. And it's a relaxing thing. It's something that for my wife and I, we actually go and do this together, and it's money that it's expensive, to do this, you know, regularly, but it's been an investment in the two of us that has helped us be stronger. Therefore, if we're stronger, it's an example for our kids. We're more connected. It just has this positive ripple effect. Now, if I did it constantly to the detriment of my family, that would not be giving God $80 back. It would be
right.
giving, you know, great taking example. Some of that for myself. Yeah.
Right. And if you know, there are lots of our brothers and sisters out there who are, I do golf by myself and my spouse stays home. Well, maybe that's part of how you need to refresh,
mm-hmm.
and you're being at your best helps you to serve the people around you in love.
Yeah.
So it just, when Ron Roth talked, Ron Roth, I heard him talk about that passage like three different times, just right before I got my call to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And it just changed the way I thought about stewardship. It's like, okay, it's all stewardship. My whole life is, how do I give it back to God? Every moment, what am I doing to give God glory so that his kingdom comes and his will is done? And I don't have the strength to do it. So Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And oh Lord, I blow it over and over again. Oh, forgive me my trespasses, just as I'll forgive the people who don't always use their gifts in the best way. I'll forgive them. And then Lord, lead me not into temptation. Don't let me trust, the things that you give me, and to use them wrongly. Protect me from the devil, because it's all about you. Yours is the glory. Oh, wait a second. There's somebody who wrote a prayer like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Lord's Prayer. I don't think we can pray the Lord's Prayer enough.
Yeah. I'm teaching confirmation class. I was so grateful I have the 4 years to teach it, because it was my favorite unit to teach. And it retaught me that so many of the things that are weighing my heart down, it's like, how can I possibly pray for all of these things? If you pray through the purpose of the petitions and what they really say, you have said everything that you need to say and everything that your heart needs to say.
Yeah.
And to be at peace when you say amen, it's so shaping when we really let it be. That's a great place to finish. I just wanted to let you know that, again, that illustration of $80, you know, of the kid with the $80, and just that moment was one that that's kind of lodged here. And it just, thank you for taking the time to go through some of these additional questions, because I think that they're good, and particularly that idea of what was the point of that? Don't have to try harder. Where does faith come from? Like, where did the $80 come from? It doesn't matter. You know, you have the bank. It's helped my unbelief a lot of times. And then just, what does it look like to give back the $80? Is he asking me to give it all back? Yes, he is. So in case you were wondering, but here's the beautiful ways in which we get to use that. And God calls that stewardship. And it's 'cause it's all about his kingdom, you know, your kingdom, the glory, the power forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So it's so good. I hope that this has been helpful, a conversation. Again, if it has been, leave us a comment in the various places that you might be listening to, whether you're on YouTube or Spotify or Apple, wherever you're listening to us in on. If there are questions that you'd like to see us wrestle with in this particular podcast, there's a lot of different topics that we'll be getting to here in our second season of doing this. But thanks as always for listening, and we will see you again next time.